Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Howdy doody do. Oh my God, I'm so pumped. I gotta share it with everybody. I am pumped to beat hell. And then I'm a little perturbed, but I come over that a little bit because my co-hostess says to me after we were talking this morning for about 45 minutes, and then I had to take this call from the doctor. And then as soon as I took that call, somebody else called, somebody else called, somebody else called. But then I got back to her, and she says, I got this guy that's giving me a headache. He talks on forever and doesn't know what he's saying. I'll call you right back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what time that was. That was 11 o'clock this morning. That was 8 hours ago, and she never called me back. She's a bad, bad, bad girl. And I don't forget. I don't forget. But that's okay. I love her anyway. How are you doing there, co-hostess?
I'm doing great, Tom. It's been an extremely busy day.
Oh, listen, and it's been busy for you. Multiply it times three for me because it's been crazier than hell. I sent you the deal Mark sent me today, and I don't know if you absorbed it, but I did. It took me three times. I had to read it, and I'm going to share it with our listeners around the globe and our cast members here tonight, because I understand we got the Swede, the beard of knowledge, man. I mean, God, what more could you say? And then we have Father Ray doing dishes, he said, but he's listening and he's ready to come in. And, of course, down there in the Bible Belt of Tennessee and Kentucky, we got my brother from another mother, the Doyle man himself. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, that's not Doyle Hawaiian pineapples neither. That's our guy. He's our two guy go from down there. And then I just found out today with him, he's going in to get something done on his rotator cuff up in his shoulder, and we'll get into that. But let me tell you people around the globe, you know we're filming our new movie. It'll be my 10th, and it's labeled Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries. It's a whole new genre for me. But now my manager comes back, and he sends me a draft. And it says a new film series from Tom Biscardi, Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries. Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries is a new film series from the noted Bigfoot researcher and hunter, Tom Biscardi. This exciting new series of six films represents the first time Tom will apply his 50-plus years of leading cryptid research to topics other than Bigfoot. Did you get that, folks? Other than the big guy himself. The series will launch with an initial production that gives an overview of each of the five specific topic areas that will be investigated separately in their own feature-length film. And this includes The Lost Treasures, which we're going to film in Utah, and that's going to be the Blind Frog Ranch, hopefully. Sasquatch will be filmed in Arizona and New Mexico on the indigenous tribes of the Apaches and the White Mountains, and plus the ones, the Navajos in New Mexico up in Farmington. The paranormal experiences will be filmed in Nevada in ghost towns, besides in places that are being inhabited every day as we speak, that these people are encountering these things. UFO encounters filmed in New Mexico, where we're going to be talking to families and people that actually got out and shot. It was, one of these things were hovering over their ranch, no more than 25, 30 feet up, and he got his shotgun with slugs and started shooting, and they recorded it, and you can hear it going bang, bing, bong, boom, okay, as it's hitting this metal object. And then, of course, the strange phenomena, which we discussed last week, about the running lizard arm 2, along with all the stuff that's happening down in Tennessee and Kentucky, which towards the end of the evening tonight, Doyle's going to fill us in. But we're going to do an overview of all of them on our first film. Then we're going to go into depth for each one of these things that I talked to you about. So I guess what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give everybody a lick of the lollipop. So this is going to be an exciting time. And it's not only going to be an exciting time for me and my crew, but I think it's going to be an exciting time for all of us that will be able to get out there one more time, you know, like in 3 years now, and do what we know how to do best. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, this is one time I'm really, really, really looking forward to coming out and saying, hi, how you guys been? Shake hands with our fellow researchers, see what's been going on. And we're going to be getting everybody on camera, everybody. I mean, I'm talking about everybody. So get ready, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm hoping we were going to leave on the 20th in 2 weeks from today, but we may have to bump it up a week to the 28th. But it is happening. It is going to happen, and I just cannot wait. I'm so enthused. I'm so enthralled. I had to pinch myself three times today, Kim. Do you know that? Three times I pinched myself.
Well, it's a beautiful thing, Tom. All I can say is I read through this and I was quite impressed, and I am hoping that at some point you'll come to Florida and film in Vero Beach, where that sighting from we talked about a few weeks ago was.
You know, and I know I took it today. I said to myself, you know what, we're all the way down there anyway. You know, we're going to be out there in Tennessee and Kentucky, and all we have to, what is it, Doyle, how far from there to the tip of Florida?
How far is it,
Doyle? About 14 hours straight drive, Tom.
Okay, and that's nothing for us, because we trade off, the other ones, you know, they snooze, and we just go straight through. So
Big Blue don't rest.
Yeah, right. We're just going to go out and do what we know how to do best. But I'm letting everybody know now, it's on. It's on for sure. And my gosh, I just can't wait. And I can't wait to have boots on the ground and to sit there and hug our people that we've been with and caress them all and shake hands of new people and patting them on the back and saying, hey, man, thank you for your support throughout all these years. And this one here is going to be one hellacious movie. So remember now, the first one is going to cap on Lickin' Lollipop, Lost Treasures, Sasquatch, Paranormal, UFO Encounters, Strange Phenomena, plus all the things that's going on in these other honky-tonk towns that nobody knows about. And I'm going to be hitting some new ghost towns, which is kind of blowing me away, and I can't wait. And I didn't know up in Utah that they've got not only the Blind Frog Ranch, but they got down the road a piece, they got the Skinwalker Ranch, okay? And besides that, they got that ghost town that this woman bought, and there's three buildings on there that they cannot go into, and they've had people come in to degauss it due to the fact of all the things going on, and they're scared shitless. I can't wait. These are new endeavors for me, dude. I want to get out there. I want to see it myself. I know that we can't capture a Bigfoot, or we can capture a Bigfoot, but how do you capture a spirit? How do you capture a ghost? Can we capture it and put it in a bottle? I don't think so. But maybe through these EVPs, maybe through photography, maybe through film, maybe through the recordings when you talk to them. But I'll tell you what, this is going to be exciting as hell, and I just can't wait. And this is just blowing me up. And I'm feeling like $1 million. And after today, that's why I went out there and had me a little bit of a mini feast, because starting tomorrow, I got this new deal that somebody sent me. It's called HUM, H-U-M Nutrition, N-U-T-R-I-T-I-O-N. And I found out where you can buy it, Kim. Did you see that?
No, I haven't checked that out yet, but I'm going to Google it right now.
You can Google it. It's $50 a bottle, and she lost 65 pounds in 60 days. And I saw the before and after picture, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. I said to myself, shit, if I was 20 years younger, I'd be out there banging beaver in the convertible again. Man, it was just unbelievable. Just couldn't believe it. And then I got to talk to her, and she said, Tom, it works. It works. You just don't eat past 6 o'clock at night. And when you take this medicine or pill, it makes you feel filled up the whole time. You don't want to eat. And then when you eat, you're just eating normal. So I'm just waiting. And so I guess there's a place that all women go to. It starts with an S. Are you looking it up now?
I am. I found it. $10 off your first order, plus exclusive offers, nutritionist tips, and more at humnutrition.com.
Okay, now
there
then there's a place that you can get them locally. And it's
yeah,
a place
and here
for women
it says
going to
you
get,
can get it for $26 a bottle, and then there's one for $40. And But there's different colored bottles, and I got to figure out what they are.
So the first one that's blue, a dark blue one?
Well, there's kind of, I got a green, a pink, purple, really weird green, and then kind of a teal. Is that the blue you're talking about?
I think that's what, does it say nutrition on it?
Oh, here, I found one. Okay. And yes, $50 a bottle. Let me
that's
look
it.
At that one.
Yeah. So that's the one that, hell or high water, I'm going to go scavenge. Now, there's a place where women go, and it starts with an S, to get their makeups and stuff. They're selling it out here in California anyway.
Sally's?
Who?
At
no, no,
Sally's?
No, no, no. What?
Sally's.
Nope. Now, that's for hair supplies. It starts
yeah,
with
an
S. Yeah,
that's where people get makeup. You know, you can get makeup.
Yeah, who has the makeup?
Sally's.
No, no. It's another one with an S.
Not sure. Not sure.
Okay. So if you put there and you Google it.
This is coming from thehumnutrition.com.
Okay. No, you got to get out there and go to Google it.
60 vegan capsules, 30-day supply, $50. Healthy weight, boost metabolism. Wow, seaweed extract it has in it. 84% experienced reduction in body fat.
It's unbelievable. When I saw her before and after pictures, I said, oh, my God. I said, I don't care what it costs. I got to get it.
Well, I'm going to try this. I'll try it with you.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it together, and we'll see each week how we do. Okay. Well,
yeah.
By the way, let's find out. How's gas around the country? What's gas by you in Florida?
Well, we're looking at $3.59, I believe.
Oh my God, how cheap is that? What's it like over there in Tennessee?
We're holding steady at on the back roads of the gas stations. We're still at like $3.79 a gallon, and on the main thoroughfare US 25E through here. As the gas stations are gouging at $3.99 a gallon.
Okay, what's it like in Arkansas, near the knowledge?
Same thing as Doyle. We're at $3.79 everywhere except the interstate. It's about $4 a gallon.
Okay. Let's see if Father Ray is, if he's tuned in. Father Ray, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's it like in New Mexico? How much?
$4.19.09. There's, I got gasoline yesterday. It was $4.75.09, but because I have an account with Shell, they reduced it by 3 cents a gallon. So it was $4.72.09.
So weren't they generous? So over by us, it's down also to $6.09 a gallon.
Wow.
My big complaint is, why are we paying $2 more than a gallon than everybody else around the country?
Okay. Because
can
you are Silicon
that
Valley.
Question? What?
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley. Yeah, that's right. That's the reason why. Because I know.
Well, Tom, I can tell you why it is in Kentucky, why it's as cheap as it is we have one of the largest production factories in the world. They also produce all the military fuel at Ashland Oil. In Ashland, Kentucky, which is not far to drive the trucks with the fuel from the processing plant to the gas stations. But we also locally, we have several local small refineries. And they do a great job at keeping our local independent people going. So, yeah, that's why they're keeping it cheap.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. Just incredible. Well, you know, what's happening around the globe when it comes to this war, folks? Has anybody been keeping up on that?
It's just the saddest thing. So sad.
Yeah, but I hear that now. Now they're talking. Putin is talking with the guy from the Ukraine.
Well, yeah, I heard that they're talking to each other, but Putin has just gone off his bonker. He's just lost it.
And I heard when our president last Friday was dedicating this new ship, he points to his wife and says, and here is the ex-vice president under Obama, and mentions his wife. I don't know if any of you guys caught that or you got it in the news, but I'm thinking to myself, wow, how many more blunders does everybody clean up before they say the guy needs help? I'm not saying that he's a bad guy. I'm just saying that, man, if he's making blunders like that, what other blunders is he making? So therefore, is everybody else running the White House but him? Have no idea. Have no idea. But let me ask the Beard of Knowledge, because he normally has a rational, the rationale to come up with the right answer. What do you think there, Beard of Knowledge?
Well, I watched a little clip of the little White House get-together where Barack Obama was up in there, and they were all up there talking and this, that, and the other, and Barack Obama made a little funny there, he said, at the front of his thing, saying, and yeah, don't forget the Vice President Joe Biden, and kind of, you know, make a little funny, seeing how he is the president, not the vice president under him. But when they were showing in the crowd in the big greet and meet thing, everybody was around there with Obama and Joe Biden. No one was even speaking to him. He was wandering around in there like second fiddle, you know. It was
lost sheep. Huh?
It was just lost sheep. It was disturbing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's shameful. It really is. And I'm just at the point, you know. I don't watch the news anymore until I'm drawn into it, and somebody will call me and say, "Hey, you got to look at this. You got to look at that." And I really don't. It's not that I don't care, ladies and gentlemen. But what can I do about it? Oh, well, you're that one vote, Tom, because if you don't vote, that could be the only one that could have got the new guy in. Well, what happens when you vote and you find out your vote isn't being counted because it's being lost by somebody else? You know, they vote and then they can't find the ballots. So, you know, there's 10 cons for every 5 pros that are out there. You know, it's stupid. The whole thing is just really stupid. I don't even care. So now, let's get on to the topic of tonight, folks. Man, I am pumped. And of course, the topic was brought up by nobody else but the Beard of Knowledge himself, the Swede. So we're going to start with the Swede, and the Swede is going to tell us, because, ladies and gentlemen, he's right. Here it is, the 6th day of April, and these creatures are on the move to migrate. Now remember, okay, when I hear the story about it, oh well, do they migrate west to east, east to west, north to south, south to north? I've been doing this for so long, folks. I mean, use some logic here tonight, please, okay? So when it's too cold, where do the snowbirds go? Oh, they go south. They go to Palm Springs. They go to Florida. And they go where it's nice and warm. And when it's too hot, where do they go? They go north. Those of you who've been in Palm Springs know that in August and September and July, oh, my God, you know, it gets to 126 degrees. Everybody leaves. They close up their businesses in Palm Springs because they just want to get out. They can't stand the heat. Yeah, they can live in air conditioning. I was down there myself. But, you know, is that what we're doing? We have to be confined in those four walls? So it's no worse than having cabin fever, and I don't want to subject myself to that. So, Mr. Beard of Knowledge, the man that I respect utmostly when it comes to his decisions about the wilds, tell us what your idea is of the migration of these creatures And when do you think it started, and how long ago do you think it did? Did it start in 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago? Give us your input on it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beard of Knowledge, the Swede, talking to you from Arkansas.
Well, thank you, Tom. I think it's just, it's been a, as long as you can think of, kind of a thing, because the natural event that happened, or just like you said, the heat, the cold, and there's other factors too that I was thinking about, and I don't know, it, you know, like I said, I don't have a PhD, but common sense tells me this. In South Florida, wherever, if the creatures down there for the winter, like you said, just like all the geese fly south, in the springtime, they all come back north. Everything does that. But there was kind of a little method to the madness that I had thought about, and it's going on right here in Arkansas and probably in Kentucky with Doyle, too. In this part of the world, all the fish start making their runs out of all the reservoirs and the rivers, and they're going to spawn in the spring. We have the white bass, the walleyes, we've got the stripers, and we've got the crappie and the bass and the perch, and they all spawn within, you know, from here to the 1st of May. So when fish start making them spawns, and they're running up these rivers all the way to the headwaters where, you know, plenty of food, shallow water. If you had any kind of skill whatsoever, you could go out there and catch them and eat them and stuff. It's a great food source. There's not a lot of berries or anything else going, but there is protein if you can catch it. Well, I was just thinking about if the Bigfoot is making his northern migrational move from right now, and it makes sense to me that all the way to fall, which if you started out in the spring in April, all the southern states have got their fish runs, and they progressively go through the summer all the way to Washington State in September, the salmon run. And all the fish between here and Washington State make a progressive move through the year. And where do all the Bigfoot go? And the bears eat to catch the salmon, the hibernate. Well, don't you think the Bigfoot are probably catching some of them too before they cut out to move back down to the south for the winter? So I think it's kind of a chase the food system. As the plants come on, they're eating the plants on their way, whatever's burying, whatever the flowers are, whatever the mushrooms are coming on, and all that's prevalent all the way to the north as they get up there, and then it's a turnaround and come back down. So that's my take on it. And I think that a lot of people verify that with their sightings. They see them. You see a lot of Bigfoot sightings this time of the year in the southern states, and as the year progresses, you hear more in the northern states. But again, on Tom's part, take of that there's old folks' homes along the way, and whenever there's prevalent food and a nice place to stay, there's a lot of them that stay put. But I think there is a migrational system. So
okay.
That's what I got to say about it.
All right. So let me ask you this: since we know about other species of things that migrate, how long do you think these creatures have been migrating?
Well, I think they've been doing it just as long as they've been here, Tom. Whenever they arrived, they were doing it. Whether or not if they came from Siberia or Russia or wherever, and they walked across the land bridge at the last ice age or prior to that, I would think that they're probably migrating based upon the seasonal thing, no matter where they're from. If they're in the Himalayas or whatever, they're doing a migrational thing. Due to the weather, I would think that would be the factor that, or the food source, in, or both.
That makes a lot of sense. Now I want to get some of that knowledge from a dude who is just a plethora of knowledge, Doyle, down there in Kentucky, in Tennessee. Doyle, you out there?
You know I'm always here, Tom.
Yes, you is. So tell us what your take is on this.
I think the beard of knowledge, my buddy, the Swede, has nailed it right on the head. I think it's about the vegetation, the actual fish catches and all the rivers and everything. And here's why I think that we see so many Bigfoot sightings here in the Appalachian Mountains. That's the perfect pathway. Think about it. If you're a Bigfoot, you're the professional hide-and-seek champion of the world. Where else to better migrate from north to south, from south to north, than the Appalachian Mountain chain with millions of miles of unexplored forest? And in these forests, we have creeks, rivers, and just, I mean, unbelievable vegetation. We have plants, like you said, you know, we have berries, we have mushrooms growing wild. I mean, it's nothing unusual just to cut the top off of a gallon milk jug and go out into the woods and find one blackberry patch and pick 2 or 3 gallons of blackberries in an hour. Well, you know, I mean, that's what we do here. And we have other plantains and stuff. And you know, we have things like kale, and we have all these plants and vegetations that are edible. And then we've got, like I say, we've got all these fish and these streams and everything. And creatures migrate to food. Or am I wrong? Let me tell you right now, if something were to happen that Atlanta, Georgia lost all its power and there was no trucks coming to Atlanta, Georgia with food, everybody in Atlanta, Georgia would start migrating towards the outer parts of Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama, because they know they can find food there. Same thing with the Bigfoot. They know where to go to find the food. They've learned over all the decades on top of decades. We don't know how long they may have been here longer than we have, Tom.
No,
and they have devised the system. And these are not stupid creatures. They're smart, or they would have been caught by the hordes by now.
I totally agree with you on that, and I've said it. It's some of my strongest convictions that these things are so smart, because here I know that they've been around for at least 500 years, and they haven't been caught yet. There's been flukes, don't get me wrong, where they almost got caught, or you think that they found a body and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, people have been asking me, oh, did you get that sample from the gentleman who supposedly found that skull? To answer everybody, no. He has never sent it to me. Never heard from him since the show. I don't know why. But it's not my week to look out after him. And I'm sure that he's got better things to do with his time. And I'm just, you know, if people want the help, they'll seek it and they'll reach out to us. But if you think I'm going to go hold everybody's hands, I'm not going to do it. I'm too old for that stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I give you an opportunity, and all you have to do is mail it to us, and I just send it to the lab, and the lab will tell us. So apparently what I'm thinking is that he found out himself that it was something that was what the Swede thought it was, you know? And could have been a gourd, could have been something that's in the lining of a tree or the outside of it. I don't know, okay? And maybe I'm grasping at straws, but I still have not heard from ladies and gentlemen that have asked. I'm sorry. Normally people who are on the show are pretty diligent and come back and do what they say they're going to do. But nevertheless, there's many more down the trail. Let me tell you this. When I get out there on the road with everybody, we're going to have press conferences and news releases and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's going to know that the godfather of Bigfoot is going to be out there again, and he's coming out doing something that's never done before. But I'm going to have a bunch of guys with me that sure as hell know a lot more than I do, especially with the drones and paranormal and the UFO stuff. So, you know, I don't care. And the other thing I'm really interested in is this lost treasure stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you straight up, man, this stuff is just, if those of you who've been following the Blind Frog Ranch, this guy made a ton of dough. I don't remember his name right now. I got it written down. Doing something else, and he sells everything to go out and find this 153-acre ranch and goes to find out that it's lost treasure down below underneath, and I believe that they found something, and the next time they air, they're supposed to find out and tell everybody. You know, I don't think it's as crazy as Oak Island. Oak Island's been out there for 11 years doing the same old crap. And then you got to listen to these people. Oh, yeah, well, next week we're going to do this. And then the first half hour is all reliving the week before because they don't have the content, and it's getting to be boring. Get it? And I can only take so much of that shit, so I don't even do it. I don't even look at the mountain men anymore. Have you guys – well, you're the closest one to them, Doyle. Have you seen those guys?
Yeah, I have. And you're talking about the mountain monster hunters? Or
yeah.
What?
Did you see the lead guy because the other one died? Did you see how big that dude is?
Well, let me tell you something right now. These are just old country boys that somehow got a connection to a thing that they could make some money doing a show. And everything they do is so silly and so stupid, it doesn't even compare to what we do out in the field.
Well, you hit that right on the head. Because
if Hollywood filmed us, it filmed for 3 days, they could make enough footage for 3 days to probably produce 2 seasons of shows.
Yeah, you're right.
But yet they hang on to these people and everything else. But I do want to tell you this, Tom. I'm not being mean or anything like that. You know I love you, brother. But let me tell you something. A lot of these people that come on your show and promise all this stuff, they're looking for a paycheck, Tom. They
you're
want
exactly
you
right. Okay?
To give them money.
You're exactly right.
For something that
but let's stay on track for this show, this one that the Mountain Monster guys. So I watch it the first time, and the big guy says, oh, we all got to get locked and loaded here, okay? And then as soon as they hear something or see something, they don't go chase the thing and try to kill the thing. What do you think they do?
Hunker down and shit their pants.
And they said, well, let's go back to the rigs and get the hell out of here, okay?
Yeah.
So my question is, every week that I watched it, which was 3 weeks, because I got gullible. I wanted to see it was going to be the same bullshit every week, and it was. They got this poor guy that he was in the service. I don't know if he's suffering from PTSD, and he's out there, first guy to get out there and do whatever needs to be done. And then they got the trapper guy and all those other clowns that are out with him. And forgive me, I don't mean to make fun like you do, or you just said the same thing I did. But guys, do you think people are just stupid? As many times,
well,
as close as you were, hold on, as close as you were to these creatures, whatever they may have been, and then I understand they caught a couple in this traps that they made, and they run up on against it, why in the hell didn't you discharge your arm and kill the damn thing? Don't say nothing. I want to hear from the spirit of knowledge. What do you say on the matter, spirit of knowledge?
Well, I was getting a good chuckle. It's always good to laugh after you get your belly full. You know, my take on that, Tom, is the gun handling skills are scary. I wouldn't want to be out there with them boys the way they handle their firearms. It's really scary. Yeah, and then when they do have their guns and all that, this, that, and the other, like you said, I think I saw the episode that you're referring to about in the trap thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody ever fired anything. Everybody got scared, and I think they went and run back in the trucks and took off. Drove away.
And that's the thing that bothers me. Are there that many gullible people out there, Swede, that they just chalk it up and say, oh, well, I guess if I was out there and I had, there's five of us out there and we all were locked and loaded, and then we said, oh, there it is, and nobody takes a shot at the damn thing, and they said, oh, let's get out of here.
Well, it's
and they
that
moves
like
to go
golf,
off to the truck to get out of town. I mean,
yeah,
come on, really?
There's no doubt. It's really Hollywood. They really pump it up. And like you said, they spend about 10 minutes of the show doing something. The rest of it's rehashing the prior episode.
Yeah. Well, that's with those guys. Now let's touch on Oak Island. What do you think of that thing?
Well, I think if you got 10 years of drilling holes with a core drilling machine and you're done and making a show of it, then they're doing pretty good, I guess, because that's all I get from it. They just keep pulling core mud out of the ground looking at it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want to get some sincere and real-to-life breakdown knowledge on things? Talk to the Swede, the beard of knowledge. Talk to the man that's my brother from another mother, the Doyle, who's been from here to eternity and back, and he'll tell you exactly where it's all happened. You know what? This has got to be great. What do you think about it, Father Ray? You still got your ears on?
Who called my name? Who called me?
I did.
Okay. What did you want to know?
Okay. Have you been listening about these other shows?
Well, I
Oak
don't
Island,
have
the ones that are digging holes in an island for the last 11 years, haven't found anything. And then the monster guys over there on the East Coast, up in the Appalachians, they found all these things, and they get close. They're all locked and loaded, and nobody has fired a gun. What's your take on it?
I'm not familiar with the Appalachian situation, but I do know about Oak Island, and it's a mystery. They're finding artifacts on this island, and they're dating them back to, what, the 11th century or so? Were people coming over from Europe all before Christopher Columbus and landing on this island, leaving things there? The speculation that the Knights Templar were there and left it. Well, they found a cross there in the mud that was a Templar cross. They didn't find any treasure, though. It's after all this investigation and all this digging and et cetera, it's hard to believe that they haven't found any treasure, if there was treasure there to be found. But it does seem that there were people who were visiting this island, and they've left remnants, they left artifacts of themselves. They're dating back to, the 11th century. So it seems like it was a known place to go and leave your leave things there. You could go if you were on the lam, if you were running away from something, you wanted to hide something, you go to Oak Island. Whether they called it Oak Island or not, is another matter. You go to this island. That seems to be my take. That's my interpretation. This place was known. It was a place, refuge. You could go and but yet digging this long shaft down into this island, someone dug this shaft they went to a lot of pain, a lot of effort to dig this, which would seem to mean that they wanted to hide something there and didn't want it to be found readily. They wouldn't have gone to all this effort to build this shaft. What could be down there? Did they put something there and did somebody steal it over the course of the years?
Here's my question. If you didn't have the funding, would you continue to dig holes or you wouldn't?
I wouldn't bankrupt myself, no. I'd go and look for funding. I'd look for sponsors, etc., but I wouldn't go and bankrupt myself.
Okay.
If I could sell my idea that there's really something there that's worthwhile and advance some money to me, and I'll give you, you'll get your money back and a certain percentage, but I have to be able to sell people on that idea that it's worthwhile to invest money with me, with my group, to go and continue making holes in this island. It would seem to me if somebody approached me I don't have the money, but if I did, I don't think I would invest it with them. It seemed like a lot of time and effort has already been invested, and they found artifacts, trinkets, things, but any large treasure has not been found. I would not invest the money in it.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So here's the deal. I just got an email from a girl named Lana Caitlin, and she wants to know what Father Ray's take is on the migration of these creatures.
They're migrating. That's what they do. They don't like the warm weather, so they came south for the winter. Now they're going north. As the weather gets warmer, they have their patterns of migration. They know where food is, they know how to travel so as to have minimum contact with human beings. Yep, they're migrating.
Okay, and thank you for your input. Swede, Beard of Knowledge, there's a girl here named Susan Hipple, H-I-P-P-L-E. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. She says, can you ask the Beard of Knowledge, does he think that he'll ever in his lifetime shoot or capture one of these creatures?
Well, Tom, Susan, it's not for the lack of trying, that's all I can say. It's not from the lack of trying. Maybe everything will line up, and one day I won't miss, and that'll work. So I guess the answer to your question is yes.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because, Susan, I'm going to tell you a brief story real quick that when he and our brethren, Rocky, were out looking for these creatures, the Beard of Knowledge shot at one of these creatures, and he honestly and truly believed that he downed it. And furthermore, the phone was still on, and me and Rob Price, along with Rocky and the Swede, heard the whole thing that went down. And I'm going to see if he can give you a 2 or 3 minute version of exactly what happened, because apparently she doesn't know. So, Ms. Hipple, the Beard of Knowledge has the floor, and he's going to explain it to you exactly, his own version, how it all happened. Please.
Well, we had me and Rocky were camping at our spot in Dutton. Doyle's been there. Tom's been there. We've had this, going to this place in August for Rocky's birthday many times. We had a little encounter with not a hands-on encounter, but an encounter the day before. And so we decided that we were going to lay in wait and set us a little trap up So we put some, we kind of strung up the perimeter with some string up high around the, our camp, and we kind of staked it out that night. And we were sitting there in the darkness, about three-quarter moon, maybe a little less than three-quarter moon. It's lit pretty good. And I heard Rocky talking on the phone. He was, Rob Price called. I don't know if he called Rob or Rob called him, but anyway, they were on the phone talking. And I was looking to the clearing. I was across on one side of the camp, and Rocky was on the other side of our camp up on the hill. And I saw a big shadow of a creature walk up to the edge of the clearing and just stand there at the edge of the clearing. And I watched it for a long time, to the point where, and it never moved after it stopped. It didn't ever move. And I just thought it was that I may have been seeing things. I kind of just almost talked myself out of it that there was anything even there. And then the Rocky, I don't know what the deal was, but he had made some kind of a noise or something to that effect, and it's this thing kind of turned just a little bit. I already had my gun drawn on it, and I was just pointing it at it, waiting to be sure. And whenever I saw it move the last time, I said, that is definitely not a man, way too big for a man, and whatever it is fixing to go down. And I fired on it, and I thought I had hit it. I mean, I truly did think I hit it. And it kind of tumbled down and turned to run and fell off, jumped, kind of rolled off of a big bank down to a little cut road. I didn't see all this until just a little bit later, but I couldn't see anything at all after I fired because I was blinded by the muzzle flash. Rocky comes running across the camp. What's, are you all right? And then I'm on the ground. I can't see. That I can't see. The Rocky comes over there and gets me. We go over to where I told him. I said, right at the clearing, right there at the edge of the camp. And we went over there and we lit it up and finally looked around there, and it looked like all hell had broke loose there. And then Rocky had seen where it, I said, if I heard it hit the road and took off down through the brush. And we... And Tom was on the phone at that time. I don't know exactly when Tom got involved in the call, but if he called you, Tom, I don't remember what exactly what happened. But
Let me. I don't want to break your line of conversation here, but I'll tell you this. I was on the phone with Rob. Got me on the phone, and then we got Rocky on the phone, and Rocky was giving us a blow by blow. When all this stuff went down, okay, and I'll tell you straight up, okay, I felt like I was in the game while the game was being played. That's how close I thought I was, okay? And then when that muzzle flash hit him, and then I'm worried because I've seen that shit happen to a lot of people, and boy, that ain't too funny, let me tell you. I know people who've been had damaged eyes from that stuff, but... Continue on. I mean, this is just too good to be true, and now I'm reliving it again as you tell it.
And I think the statement was, Rocky asked Tom, said, "Did you want us to go after it?" And you know, there was a few, you know, there was a few. Yeah. There's, yes. Well, let's just keep it clean, Susan. Yes, go after it. So we kind of mounted a really hasty gear grab, and we started tracking. And I'm telling you what, we tracked that thing through the brush, through the broken limbs, through the footprints, and we did find some blood, but it wasn't Bigfoot blood. It was a hog or something had got up against something and bled, but it was in the same pathway. We followed that thing into the national forest through some stuff that a man shouldn't have to go through to get after, to stay at it. But it was a pretty clear trail because it was running, breaking stuff, And for about the first 1,000 yards, it might as well have been a truck driving through the woods. There was no mistaking. There was so much broken stuff that it was, you could have been a blind man and followed that trail. And then it progressively got a little bit more tricky, and we tracked for until the next day. This was at midnight. We tracked until almost sunset the next day. And I don't know how many miles we traveled, but we just figured it out that there wasn't any blood. It wasn't leaking. So I just thought, man, we missed it. But we scared the holy crap out of it because it left it in a big-time hurry. And when we got back to the camp, we got back into service. I think Rocky called Tom. I don't remember exactly what happened, but when we came back up there and I replayed the steps, what happened, and Rocky said, show me what happened, exactly what it was, because it's daylight. And we looked it all over, and then I looked, and I seen that white spot on that hickory nut tree. I saw a little white spot up about 6 feet high. There was a white spot, and I walked over there to it. I said, he was right here, and I looked, and right where I was aiming at, but there was a hickory nut tree about 8 inches around, and I clipped that freaking hickory nut tree with that .454, and it caught the bullet, and I didn't put any lead on him, but it was a matter of inches, and I don't know if it'll ever be able to happen again, but it was a never forget it thing for me in my life. I can tell you that, and I wish that it could have been different, but it didn't, and hopefully I'll get another chance, but it was definitely an event.
You know, I got to, first of all, thank you, and Susan, I hope that answers your question. I was on that phone there with Rob and Rocky when it all went down. I couldn't sleep the rest of the night, and I told Rocky no matter what time it is, and the thing comes back, or you do find it and you chase the blood and find out that, you know, it bled out, just call me. I don't care what time it is, and I'll fly there the next day. That's how strong I felt that, you know, he had downed this thing one way or another. But, you know, hey, even the best shot in the world, sometimes we all miss one time or another. And I got to tell you something, folks. I mean, where has the hour gone? We've got 3 minutes left on this show, 2.5 minutes to be exact. And it just flies by. I got one question here for the lover. Doyle, you still there?
I'm always there.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, there's a girl named Doreen. She says, could you ask my sweetheart, did he ever shoot one of the creatures? You've got a minute and 20 seconds.
I have never shot a creature, but I have heard a lot of Big Tom's son, TJ, got me hooked on this stuff 14 years ago, and I've been part of the family ever since. And I'll tell you right now that there's no doubt that this thing is out there. And I had a friend of mine, just to make a simple joke, as I always like to do, he called me or texted me, and he said, you know, he said, I want to start an international hide-and-seek competition. And he said, the only problem I've got, he said, we can't find qualified people.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you,
get Tom to get some big feet to come in here and play with us.
Yeah, you bet. So I'm sorry, Doyle, but it's the night has come. The clock on the wall is saying you got to go. I want to thank my co-hostess, Kimberly. As always, I'd be nowhere without you, and God bless you for what you do for all of us, especially me. Beard of Knowledge, what more can I say that I haven't said? Doyle, Father Ray, both of my brothers from other mothers, and all of you people around the globe. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Love you, Tom.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Kimberly. Good night, everybody.
Good night from New Mexico.
Father Ray, and God bless everybody across this whole world from Kentucky and Tennessee.
God's blessing and peace. Everyone have a good Holy Week from New Mexico.
All right. Thank you. Good night, gentlemen. Till next week.